I think I'm supposed to sing a song.
Don't be.
I was wondering, because we was talking about crowns back there. We have to talk about what Solomon was calling a crown. But good to see everyone out today. Glad to have our visitors with us, and just make yourself at home. We are looking forward to this evening. Been looking for this. I've been like a little kid, I think, excited about our fall festival. And then everybody keeps talking about rain, and I'm praying and hoping that we have good weather. If not, we'll deal with what the Lord sends us. But let's pray that the weather stays good. Looking for a good crowd to come out in our community, and looking for our church to be able to evangelize some to these people, and not just let them have a good time, but let them see Jesus in us is our prayer this afternoon. Do we have any prayer requests before we go into our service? Can you remember Miss Frieda and her family? I understand didn't get too great of news, so remember them. Can you remember Kay's sister as she's going through her treatments? And remember Kay, she got a little something going on too, and she will say it's all going to be okay. God's going to take care of it. But I know we was talking this morning, we all have failures, we all have sin, we all have trouble for sure. I don't know of a family you can go to that doesn't have some kind of trouble. And we live in this world that's fallen, and we're just called to be a light. And there's going to be times it's hard, and as a church family, we've been hurting lately. We've been saddened, of course. We've lost some members to death, and of course we've had others call different places for ministry and different things. So it's been tough lately, but God knows all about it, and His timing's perfect. I pray and I thank God. I want this to happen today. I want it to happen now. I want it to, when I pray, I want to see the pews full every single time I get done praying, but it simply don't work that way. It's God's timing and God's way, and His way is perfect, and I have to accept that. Have any other prayer requests?
Remember the Eli, the little boy, passed away in Lima the year yesterday. Wow. Put a lot of pictures on their Facebook. So remember that family?
Remember that. Any others? Another prayer request. Keith, will you lead us in prayer, please?
Father, we are so thankful for the opportunity to come to your house. Father, as we pause now, you've heard the prayer request we've made known. Father, we pray that you'd be with each one of them. Father, now as we go into the rest of this worship hour, pray that you'd be with our music and then to our preaching hour. Father, open our mind and heart to be receptive to your word, your will this day. In Christ's name.
Please stand and join us in our call to worship.
There's coming a great day, and it won't be very long, when all the saints are gonna gather, we're gonna gather around God's throne. We're gonna feast on milk and honey, we're gonna sing and have a good time. There's coming a great day when the Lord returns from His bride. There's gonna be a great, great day. All my troubles will pass away. I read the book, and the book did say there's gonna be a great, great day. Watch ye therefore. You know not the day when the Lord shall call your soul away. Trusting, fighting, striving for the right, we shall wear a Roman crown. I'm gonna wear a crown.
Glory, shout and tell a glad story. We shall wear a Roman crown.
together. We're gonna gather around God's throne. We're gonna feast on milk and honey. We're gonna sing and have a good time. There is coming a great day when the Lord returns for His bride. There is coming a great day when the Lord returns.
What you care for, you know not today.
There is coming a great day.
Still the truth.
Amen. Well, I tell you what, that's singers was inspired this morning. They're always good, but today was a little different. I've been praying first of the week. You know, we don't take a rocket scientist to see that we're down lately. Our crowd's down and everything. Again, praying God, we need something different. Something different, and God shows me we don't need anything different. We need the Word of God. And I read about a pastor who pastored a church not far from here, and the church is flourishing, and people's being saved left and right, and you begin wondering, Lord, why not us? And I read something that he had wrote in a newspaper for Alabama Baptist. Said, they asked him, what are you doing? What are you doing? He said, we invited God. We invited God to church. I began thinking about that, and boy, I had you a great message today of close only counts in horseshoes. And then the Lord had to go and change it. And I'm not real smart, but when you see God moving, you better jump on board. Amen. And I began to see him moving in the thought of crowns all morning. And I haven't studied this at all. It's going to be in, so y'all, what y'all got in your computer, you wasted time. What I got, I wasted time, because we got to follow what God wants this morning. Turn your Bibles, Revelations chapter number 19. We're going to go old school. Revelations chapter number 19, and Terry, being as smart as he is going to think this guy ain't got a clue when I get done with this message, because I haven't studied this any. And it's very deep. But today we're going to preach about, and this is just totally off the hip, the King of Kings. The King of Kings. And I want you to think about that for just a minute. The King of Kings. You think about kings from all times, and you begin looking back through history, and you'll see times that there's been different kings. And I preach about kings all the time, about Hezekiah, which he should have had his own book in the Bible. I always said that. But Hezekiah, and we know God knows way more than I do about that. But different kings you see all down through time. Many kings of England that focused and changed what we have today, even as church, and put things in a way. But let me tell you something. There has been some good kings through time. Hezekiah was a good king. Josiah was a good king. There was many good kings, but there was a lot of bad kings also. Let me tell you this morning about a king that's perfect. The King of Kings that's perfect. He never made a mistake. He never will make a mistake. And that's why this morning we must follow him and go his way even when we haven't studied. And I'm completely relying on him. We was talking about faith in Sunday school, Sister Linda, about faith. And this morning that's what this message is going off of, is total faith that God's going to provide what we need this morning. We talked about faith being the very meaning of it is stepping out when you can't see. Of stepping into darkness when it don't make sense. Of stepping out and not knowing what's going to be there. But I want to tell you something this morning. I promise you this king will be there. In Revelation chapter number 19, I'll begin reading verse number 11. It says, I saw heaven opened. And behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. Boy, listen to this. And his name is called the Word of God. Woo! And his armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress in the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun. And he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat of the flesh of the kings and the flesh of the captains and the flesh of the mighty men and the flesh of the horses and them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond and small and great. Boy, I love this next part. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. And these both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him and set upon the horse, which the sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Father, we thank you this morning for this word. Lord, we ask you. God, we're dependent on you. We do every Sunday, but Lord, this morning especially, that you provide what we need. God, I ask you to provide for us. Lord, give me the words to preach. Lord, open hearts and minds. Father, that we may leave here different than when we came in. Lord, these blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Boy, what a great picture we just saw of what will happen to earthly kings, of those kings that don't know Jesus. And my original message was close, but only counts in horseshoes. And I began thinking all week, and I knew, didn't know this was coming up, but all week of all the people that will be around, that has been around that great king, that's been in the presence of that great king and been around him all their lives. Many been in churches, and you study the scriptures, and there's many people that was even in the presence of the Almighty King, but yet they didn't know him. But yet they never knew him. I think we have people in our churches today, probably even this church, we have people that's around the king every Sunday, but don't know him. People that's around the king but never realize truly who he is. I want to tell you this morning, I don't know what's going to come out of this message, but I do know that he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And boy, can you imagine how great he is? And one day we'll see him, it says, on that white horse. And all around him, it said his army will be white and clean. And boy, praise God, you know he'll be making up that army. Boy, to be the saved, you see. It said their garments was white as snow. And you know what's made our garments white as snow this morning? Boy, it tells us over here in verse 19 where it started. It said him that sat upon it was called faithful. May I tell you today that the Lord is forever faithful. He is faithful to us. Those that call upon him, I promise you, he is faithful. If you looked up the meaning of it, it would simply mean he's always there. You'll never reach a time in your life when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is not always there. Now, in our country, we have presidents, and there's been times we've seen presidents who failed us. They made bad decisions, as all people do, and there's times we've seen good presidents and all this. But may I tell you, we'll never see one that can measure up to the King of Kings. And I want us to see him this morning, and I began listening to the radio as I was on the way to church this morning, and the preacher was just preaching, a great message about something that we need to realize. He said, we'll see revival in our land, and we'll see revival in our own lives when we realize who he is, and then realize who we are. You see, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we are a measly, sinful person that deserved hell. And because of his righteousness and his faithfulness and his grace and mercy, he has saved us and made us part of this great army. Boy, we all will be shouting. We ought to run to Heflin and back and outrun Pat's horse this morning. But listen, we ought to be excited. He said, I saw him faithful. And boy, listen to this. He says, faithful and true. People search for truth everywhere. They search for truth. When I was studying for that other message that I did all week, I studied there. And old Pilate said something. A Pilate, in all his knowledge he thought he had, he was questioning Jesus. And he asked Jesus, he said, are you the king? Are you a king? You know what Jesus told him? He said, you have said so. He said, you speak truth. And Pilate asked him something. He said, what is truth? What is truth today, church? What is truth? I want to tell you what the only truth we can stand on today is Jesus Christ. The only truth we can stand on is the Word of God. And I never even studied Revelation chapter 19. I've read over it because I've read the scriptures through a couple of times, I think. And I've done this, and we went over it in our Sunday school class a little bit. But I want you to think about this morning. It said his name was the Word of God. You want to know what truth is right now today? You've got Jesus Christ. You've got what he thinks about life. You've got what he knows about life. You've got what he knows about heaven. You've got everything about Jesus right here. You don't need to know anything else. We've got people who are so bright, they think they can add everything unto this message, unto this book. I want to tell you something, church. You need to stick with this word. You don't never need to turn away from it. If this thing is this powerful for the King of Kings, it says that that's his name, and boy, it's good enough for me. It's good enough for me this morning. He's true. That's the only truth we can know. Boy, I talk about this all the time. We wonder about truth. We wonder about it all of our life. What is true? You ask somebody, what do you deserve in your life? They say, I want to know the truth. What do you want to know about? I want to know the truth about this. There's scientists that search out forever trying to find the truth about how the world began. And it's right there in the Word of God. They finally find the truth about where sickness has come from. And it's right there in the Word of God. It tells us that after sin entered in, that death entered into the world. And listen, all the truth we need to know is in this book right here. And the truth we need to understand this morning, if we die and leave this world without ever asking Jesus Christ to save us, that the truth of this matter is our eternity will be in hell. It'll be in hell, and that's truth. But Lord, listen, you know the thing about truth is it hurts. We say this all the time, the truth hurts. That's why the wife comes to the husband when she puts on clothes and says, does this make me look fat? If you tell the truth, sometimes it'll hurt with a frying pan. And sometimes it'll hurt. It'll hurt feelings, and it'll hurt different things. But bless God, you shouldn't want to know the truth if you don't want to know it. But listen to truth this morning. He says truth. Listen what else he says. In righteousness. Listen, and he that sat upon him was called faithful. true, and in righteousness he does judge and make war. Do you realize something? In one of these days, there's a judgment coming. The Bible teaches about it. The Bible teaches that one of these days, a great judgment is coming. And listen, the great thing about this is you can make a choice to get, we talked about choices Friday night. You can make a choice to get to escape this great judgment. Yes, we'll stand before the throne, Jesus Christ there in judgment as Christians, but we'll never stand before the great throne judgment. Well, as saved people, we'll never have to do that. But I don't know about you this morning, but I want to stand before Jesus Christ and his mercy and his grace. And when he looks at me, he sees the blood applied to my heart and life. And when I stand before a holy God and he says, oh, there's that old boy, Jesus will say, hey, I saved that one over there. Boy, he's clothed in righteousness. He's got on a white robe. He's got on a crown this morning. That one right there is mine, so he's forgiven. He's got a gift into heaven forever. Boy, how devastating will it be? How destructive will it be to hear those words, depart from me, I never knew you. How destructive. Think about that this morning. There's people who leave this walks of life. There's people who, when Jesus returns one day, will hear those awful words. Depart from me. I never knew you. And what does Scripture say? It says, they'll say, Lord, we prophesied in your name. Lord, I preached your word. Lord, I went and I told people about you. Lord, I fed the poor. I done all these things. Lord, I give to everything I could give to, I give to it. God, I give to everything in this world. I spent all my money for you. But you know what he'll say? Depart from me. I never knew you. Listen, church, we can't express enough that we must know this King of Kings. We must know him. And I began thinking a little bit. This is a very weak example, but we was at a ball game the other night, and Chase Whitley came. And if you're from Ramburn, Chase Whitley's about as close to celebrity as you'll ever get. Chase Whitley came, and I began looking. And we had a little spot on the fence there, Pat, that all of us, what's where the old men used to stand, but they don't now, my age men stand there. And we have a spot that we all stand. And listen, old Chase come up, and he stood beside us. And all of a sudden, there was like a little group come to him. All these 20, 30-something men that's still into baseball, all of them run up there. And boy, you could tell that they were just excited to know Chase Whitley. That Chase Whitley has pitched for the Yankees, and he's pitched for the Rays and all this stuff. And boy, what excitement it is just to know him. Let me tell you something today. We're given an opportunity to know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And for some reason, people just can't get excited about it. For some reason, people just don't see the need to be around him. When Chase comes to a Ramblin' ball game, people enthrone him. But when Jesus Christ comes to church, bless God, you can't get them down here. You can't find happy members with the FBI. Something's wrong with this picture. You see, the problem of it is we haven't saw who he is, and we haven't saw who we are. He's the King of Kings. How many of us, if we got a chance to meet any president in the United States? Some of y'all here may have met a president. I never have. There's a couple I would choose not to meet, but if I could meet some of them, I probably would. But if we could meet any of the kings of England throughout time, we'd probably want to meet them. And people, you get to talking about things, and one of the first things will come up when people will say, I know so-and-so. He's very powerful. I know this famous actor, or I know this famous athlete, or I know this famous race car driver, or whatever the case may be. People brag and brag about who they know. But may I tell you today, church, that if we know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we should be bragging today. We should be going out today and telling everybody that, hey, there's a king that was come, that's coming one day. There's a king one day that you must know, or if you don't know him, the torment's going to be your everlasting future. Boy, that ain't popular today, is it? Listen to this. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his heads were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but himself. And he was clothed with a vesture. Oh, listen to this. With a vesture dipped in blood. Dipped in blood. Boy, what about that blood today? I heard a song the other day, and I began thinking about it. And I don't know if we've sang it here, but it's one of the song ought to be done away with, because it says in there, and I know people don't mean anything bad by this, but it said, Jesus spilled his precious blood. May I tell you something today? Jesus didn't spill anything, because if I spilled that water, Carrie sat down, she'd be mad at me, but that would have been an accident. I would not have done it on purpose. But listen, Jesus did not spill his blood. He shed his blood. If you shed something, it's not on accident. He meant to shed his blood for you. He never spilled it. His blood was shed for the remission of sins for all mankind. Jesus Christ never spilled a thing. He shed it. He gave it freely. On that vesture was blood. Boy, what does it say about blood in the Scripture? Well, that's the shedding of blood. There's no remission of sins. You cannot be forgiven without the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And you'll fuss and fuss with people today all over the world about this. They'll tell you there are many ways to get to heaven. There's many ways to come to God. You treat people right. You live the golden rule. You do these things. There's many ways to God. And bless God, we got people sat on our church pews today that believe this stuff. Hey, I do it, man. I told y'all the story before. We done threw every door. Me and Stephanie went to a deacon's house and said, what must you do to get in heaven? And this man who was a deacon in a church for years and years, you know what he told us? He said, the golden rule. I thought, oh my goodness, ask him again. She asked him again. We'll treat people good. We'll do good in the world. What must you do? She said it slow this time. What must you do to enter heaven? Be a good person. Never once did he say you must be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen, church, the problem with this thing is there's people sitting on our pews today that has done good. There's people sitting on our pews today that's even been baptized in every water hole around here. There's people in our pews today that have given more money than I've ever had. There's people on our pews today that's done all these great things that I have intentions to do, but I'm too lazy and I'm too sorry to do. They just are. That's the truth of the matter. They've done all these good things. They've done all of this, but there was a rich young ruler that came to Jesus. You remember that? And he said, Lord, what good thing must I do to be saved? What good thing? He was thinking, he would say, well, go feed 10,000 over here in Africa, or go give coloring books to those kids in Africa, which we're doing, and it's a great thing. But listen, it's not going to do one thing about your eternity in heaven. Listen, he said, what good thing must I do? You may tell you the only good thing you can do is trust Jesus Christ as your Savior today. That's the only thing you have to do. That's the only thing that'll work. It's a free gift. It's a free gift of God. Every single one of us. It's a miraculous thing, and I can't understand it, of how that red blood can wash away black sin and become white as snow. Don't make sense. So Scott Gentry used to have a thing he'd done. Y'all probably saw it where he'd bring the bowl and he had the black in there, and then he would put some red in it, and all of a sudden it would become white. He would dip, I think it was a cross he dipped in it, and that cross would become white as snow. It was caused by a chemical reaction. Listen, the way we become white as snow is not by some chemical reaction. It's by a reaction of an almighty God who has to accept a perfect sacrifice. And the only thing you'll ever sacrifice that's perfect is faith in Jesus Christ. There is no other way. You may get tired of hearing that today, but that's what he's put on my heart. It's got to be through this King of Kings and Lord of Lords. May I ask you today, is he your king? Is he your king? Be honest now. I'm not saying, do you know him? I'm not saying, do you know who he is? I'm not saying, have you heard about him? I'm not saying, have you seen about him on TV? Have you heard about him on the radio? Have you heard Brandon preach about him? Have you heard me preach about him? Have you heard the Sunday school teachers teach about him? I'm not asking that. I'm asking you today, is he your king? Is he your king? Is he king of your life? Is he the king of your life? There's scripture that says, the king of glory. He is the king of glory. But you see what's happened in our day and times. If we have put ourselves as king of glory, we don't put anything above ourselves. Yeah, he's my king, preacher, unless it's something I want to do. He's my king unless I've got plans to do something else, and then I'm not going to change my time for anything. And y'all not realize what we've been seeing in this country for years and years, and Terry teaches us about it on Wednesday nights, that in our country, regular church attendance is down to once in every 6 weeks. Once in every 6 weeks. Listen to me, if there's somebody that you love, if there's somebody that you're missing, and I promise you today, Miss Pat would do anything. If she could drive to Louisiana right now, or Oklahoma is where he is, Miss Pat would take off and see that grandchild, but he can't get out of boot camp, so she can't do that. But if there was any way possible, Pat would be around that grandson today. And let me tell you something, if there's any way possible, and you love somebody, you do whatever it takes to be around them, then why in the world can a church that's supposed to be filled with saved sinners, how in the world is it they can go 2 or 3 weeks, 2 or 3 months, and never darken the doors of the church and stand there and tell me they have a king? It's impossible. Listen, it's one or two things. Either the Bible's a liar or they're a liar. And may I tell you this, it's them. The scripture is truth. He is the word of God. He is truth. Why is it? It's simple. It's because he's not our king. He's not our king. He's somebody we like to talk about. He's somebody we like to think about. Oh, what a most powerful king he must be. Yeah, if you're not on the right side, one day you're going to truly know how powerful he is. This man is so powerful, he owes the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He's so powerful, he can speak and worlds coming to existence. He's so powerful. He can cast out any kind of demon, anything he wants to. He can do it by merely thinking of it. He's so powerful, he can do all these things. But you want me to tell you what's so great? Is that he's so powerful, and he's so great, and he's so wonderful, and he's so majestic as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. For some reason that I'll never understand, well, I will one day when I'm in glory, but for some reason, he loves something as dirty as me. For some reason, he saw a need to come unto me. For some reason, he saw a need to draw me to himself. And for some need, he sees a reason for you. I want to tell you something today. I'm preaching about a king who loves you. I'm preaching about a king who died for you. I'm preaching about a king who wants you to be with him forever. But listen, this is more than this. This king, we get to enjoy his inheritance. The Bible tells us we become joint heirs with Christ. This is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the scripture even tells us something else in Revelation. It says we become kings. Read it. We become kings. That's when you argue with people and they say, preacher, is it all right for me to take a little drink and around this? And you say, well, that's between you and the Lord. You do what you think it is. But if we want to tell the truth, and the truth is in the scriptures, the truth is right here. No, it's not okay. It's not okay for me to go run around with other women. It's not okay for me to do all these other things. The scripture preaches against it, and it tells us over there in Proverbs chapter 31, it's talking to another king, and that king named King Lemuel. And he says, hey, what about this drinking thing? His mother tells him, it's not all right. She said, strong drink is not for kings. It's not for kings. And I told somebody this one time, and I showed them that scripture in both times. You know what they said? You don't need to come to my house no more. They was joking. But what I'm saying is, if you want truth, make sure you want truth before you say you want it. Because, brother, let me tell you something. This book is a two-edged sword. It cuts going in, it cuts going out. We preach about it, but listen, it cuts me before I ever pick it up, before I ever get here to preach it. And his dipped in blood, the vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. The Word of God. Do you remember what Scripture says? The earth and everything shall pass away, but the Word of God shall stand forever. Amen. The Word of God is in heaven because it's Jesus Christ. Is the Word of God. The angel which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth go a sharp sword. Remember, does that sound familiar? Two-edged sword. Out of his mouth go a sharp sword. With it should smite the nations. He should rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of fierceness and wrath of an almighty God. That sharp sword is going to judge nations. You know what nations is made up of? People. All these that stand before him today and say, God, we thought there was another way. God, we listened to all these people who wanted to fill stadiums and all this and that smiled with their hair fixed pretty and had all these pretty white teeth and all these things. And they told us that all this stuff was right and all these things was wrong and all this. And boy, I don't know what to do, God. It's not my fault. Let me tell you something. When you stand before Jesus Christ, you can't say it wasn't my fault. You can't say that. Those of you in here this morning can't say that because you've heard the Word of God. Those of y'all have heard the Word of God way before I ever preached, way before I was ever born, many of you. You've heard the Word of God on radios. You've heard it everywhere in our country. If you have not heard the Word of God, you have not tried. And many times you hear it and not try. It's out there. It's everywhere. The Word of God is all around us. Nobody will be able to stand and say, I didn't know. I didn't know God. His name is the Word of God. And he had on his vesture and on his thigh name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Boy, what a great picture this must be. On this big old, I can't imagine how pretty this horse must be and how strength, a picture of strength. Way far more than Pat's horse. This thing is there and it's a picture of strength and purity. And him that's riding on it, whoo, is a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords. Can you imagine what sight this must be? When you see him coming in all the power in all this. And it is a great, great strength of power. And it ought to be very selling to us to realize, that's my king. That's my king on that horse. That's my king. Boy, look at him come. That's my king. It's like us Alabama fans when they get ahead by about 28, me and Pat can get unnervous there. And they run over one of them old Tennessee players. We say, boy, that's my player. Look at him. Can you imagine how happy that daddy must be? Some of them running backs from Alabama, how tickled they must be. Boy, that's my boy. Look at him. But think about this. Will you be able to say that day, that's my king? There comes my king. Y'all look at him. There he comes. Boy, he's perfect and he's holy and he's righteousness and he saved me and he's protected me. You realize that a good king is which we serve, the best king, always makes sure his people's taken care of. What about our king? He's there. He said, I saw an angel stand in the sun and cry with a loud voice, saying, all the fowls and all the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of the kings and the flesh of the captains and the flesh of the mighty members, the flesh of the horses, them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. I want you to hear verse 19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken. Listen now. The beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, in which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of the fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. What an ending. What an ending. It comes down to a very, very simple choice. And I'm not going to even start to make you think I understand everything that's written right there. Number one, I hadn't studied it. If I studied 100 years, I'd probably never be able to tell you what it means for certainty. I know what it's a picture of, but listen. We're making what we call in school an application today for this right here. We have a great king. We have a great king. He's all-powerful. He's almighty. One day, that old beast, which is Satan, is going to be destroyed. He's going to be thrown into a lake that's burning with fire and brimstone forever. No longer will he ever bother you anymore. No longer will he ever bother me anymore. He will forever be in torment. And boy, that's exciting to me today. And I want to run and think about it. I remember the only war I remember ever being alive for was the Gulf War. And I remember watching it with my granddaddy as they showed those Tomahawk missiles or whatever it was, going in there and blowing up all that stuff over there where old Saddam Hussein was. And boy, I remember thinking about, boy, that's my army over there. That's the United States destroying that place. And we'll teach them to mess with us. And I can remember when George Bush sent them over there when they had attacked our towers and the bombs started shooting, what powerful, what strength we felt as a nation. Boy, it feels good to know that I got a king that's on a white horse and he's perfect and he's powerful and nobody can overtake him. But listen today, church, it ought to break our hearts to know that they are people and millions that's going in that lake of fire right with them. You know what the scripture says? Many of their blood will be on our hands. It tells us in Ezekiel chapter 33, God has called us to be watchmen. We should be standing on a wall yelling, here they come. Take cover. Take cover. It says a good watchman, if he don't holler out, he don't yell, he don't warn them, the blood is on his hands. At church, I'm afraid that we've got churches all over our land that the blood is going to be all over them because they haven't stood and told the truth. They've been worried more about attendance. They've been worried more about money, more about all these other things than they are about standing for the truth. Listen, I want a great attendance. I want these benches full. I want all this good thing that God has to offer. I do want it, but listen, what matters most to me this morning is that every one of us sitting in these pews and those we have that's gone somewhere this morning, I don't know where they're at, but if you see them, tell them I miss them. I want them to come back, but I want all of us to be sure that we can leave here and say one thing, he's my king. He's my king. It may not matter much to you right now, but brother, one day it's going to matter. One day when it's your time to stand in front of a holy God, you're going to be able to say, that's my king. That's my king. We heard songs sing all about crowns this morning. And I was standing there, God began pricking my heart and said, boy, you better not preach what you wrote down. Don't do it. I thought, but Lord, you don't know what time I put in this. You don't know the gas money I drove down here, God. You don't know all these things. You don't want to wrestle with the King of Kings. He'll knock your hip out of joint. We'll preach about that one day. But listen, this has been probably scattered and about as old-fashioned as you can get. And it's the only time I remember, was one more time, that when I stood to preach and the message completely changed. I don't understand why, but I do know that I prayed this week. I said, God, come to our church. Come in. God, take us over. God, let everything we do be about you and not me. And I've been focused. I guess it's just a pastor in you. Focused on how do we get people into the church. God, how do we get people to come? God, how do we get people to fill these pews? How do we get people? Lord, we're stepping out in a building project, and it seems we're less and less. What in the world are we going to do? It's nervous. I don't know what to do. And you know what he told me this morning? It's just as plain as if I'd have spoken out there on that porch. He said, you focus on the ones that's there. You focus on the ones that's there and let me worry about the ones that ain't there. Because you read the scripture and he says that God, that he added daily to the church that should be saved. I can't add a single one. I can preach you the word, I can teach you the word, but the bottom line of it is he saves. If the church is going to grow, it's because he desires it. Yes, we got to go out. Yes, we got to go get them. Yes, we got to put forth effort. But at the end of this thing, if anything's done, it's him. So in closing this morning, if you'll stand just a minute, if you'll stand, I want to ask you, who is your king? Who is your king? We all got a king. We all under some kind of authority. You just are. You're under authority of Satan, you're under authority of Jesus. Whether you realize or not, you're all under authority of some power. You go to work tomorrow, you're under authority of your boss. That means, kids, you don't do what he says, he can tell you hit the road. We're under authority. Who is our king? You know what? When I go to work, the Bible teaches me I should work all I can for that man who has hired me. And we do that. Boy, you'll see people going to work. I can remember my daddy going to work throwing up. He had headaches all his life. I remember going sick as a dog, as we say. I don't know what that means, but we always said it. I can remember seeing him going to work. He couldn't hold his head up. I saw him. My daddy would go to church pretty sick too. But a lot of people in our day and time, boy, we make excuses not to come to the house of God. We make excuses not to be around the king. Do you know what? If there's an Alabama football game coming on and I'm sick so I can't raise my head up, I'll lay there and I'll open one eye. See if I can see what's going on. Because that's important to me. That's my team. But I'm afraid sometimes those things like that, and that's a very weak example, become our kings. Jesus Christ should be the most important thing in our life. There should be nothing that comes above him. It should not be work. It should not be family. It should not be anything. It should be Jesus. After Jesus should be our family. Who is your king today? Who is your king? You're going to answer this one or two ways. You're going to say, Jesus is my king, and it's going to make a difference in your life. Or you're going to say, I want him to be my king, but I don't want to give up some things. I don't want to have to give up what I'm doing. I don't want to have to give up these things. I enjoy the time. Preacher, you don't understand. I don't have time to come to church. I don't have time to do this. The Bible says we'll give an account for everything we did and everything we said. We'll give an account for it, whether good or bad, it says. What's it going to be that day? What's it going to be? Boy, I'm going to have more failures. The only hope I've got is Jesus Christ. But you know what I'm going to be able to do? As I'm standing there in front of him, I'm going to be able to say, that's my king. That's my king. What about you today? As we sing, you be honest. You be honest.